Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi guys, Julie J here, just to say thank you so much for tuning into Crimeland today, and I just wanted to say a massive thank you to anyone who has taken the time to review us and or rate us on Spotify or Apple. I was today days old when I found out that you can actually review us on Spotify as well. Like, I'm still at the Bebo stage of technology, so forgive my ignorance, but it really means so much. I had a look at some of the reviews during the week, and honestly, lads, I can't tell you how much it means to me when people leave these lovely reviews. I'm just so appreciative. So thank you so much to everyone who has taken the time to do that. And if you do enjoy today's episode, it would be deadly if you could review us after you've listened. Just to say as well, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, because it just means that you're never going to miss out on an episode. For all my banging on about subscribing to podcasts, I've only recently really started to subscribe to podcasts, and I've no idea what I've been doing with my life up to now. I mean, it essentially just means you're never going to miss out on a show you love. So I've no idea why I wasn't doing it. I'm pretty sure it was some kind of extended form of self-harm. I'm not quite sure what was going on with me, but I've sorted my life out. I'm subscribing to podcasts. It's all good. Just the usual disclaimer as well, guys, to say that today's episode might contain themes which some listeners may find distressing, and we always strive to discuss these topics in a human and empathetic way. Today, you are in for such a treat. I have Linda Weston of Linda with a Y podcast. She is so deadly. Her podcast is brilliant. Do check it out when you've listened to Crimeland. She really had me in stitches today. She is just so, so funny, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. Thanks so much for listening, guys, and here's your episode. Enjoy! To Crimeland. My name is Julie J, and this week I'm talking to the brilliant
Linda Weston
about Amelia Dyer, aka the Ogress of Reading. Linda, how are you, missus?
I am absolutely fantastic, Julie. And the last time I was talking to you, you had a baby like 3 months before or something, and you were so normal.
I was saying to you, before we started recording, I was in complete denial. I tell you that much. Like, had Ted hanging off the tit and was pretending like I was functioning, it was all okay, but I was not
I was recording with you, and my baby, I think, was 9 months at the time, and I was like, why am I shaking in a corner going, what's after just
oh, happening? Oh, no. Amelia, Amelia hit me hard, let me tell you. Yeah, no, that was when I was definitely still, yeah, I was still running on the hormones, I feel, then. Linda, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Just to say, obviously, the listener isn't working with the visual, and we're definitely not recording from my utility room. And Linda 100%. Definitely is not looking at my knickers. That is the truth. I mean, this is like real OnlyFans stuff over here, Linda.
Oh my God, tell
my
me.
Knickers, Ted's jocks, like.
Lads, I can sell this. I'll sell this to Hello Magazine. Revealed. The cookster is revealed.
Exclusive. Julie J wears knickers. Okay. Let me tell you my sources for this one, Linda. So I have an article by Jamie Bogart called The Ogres of Reading. That's from a really good website, The Lineup, which is great. Right. I also have a brilliant article by Sarah Lee from the BBC, which is a really great one as well. I used crimemuseum.org, and we also used Wikipedia. So what I'm saying, Linda, is we're not pulling this out of our arse here.
No. You have done your research, girl. You have done your research.
I have been up all night surrounded by knickers doing research. So I'm going to dive right in. Okay.
Let's do it.
So Amelia Hobley stroke Dyer was born in a small village near Bristol in 1838. She was the daughter of a successful shoemaker and was privileged enough to learn to read and write at a time when the majority of women, of course, couldn't. So a bit of a situation.
Yeah, she was a bit posh, was she?
She was a bit posh. And of course, do you know what I love about you, Linda? When I did your podcast before, which we will mention at the end, I loved the way you were a bit of an English head back in the day. Not to make this about us, you were also big into your English.
I'd like to say I was a bit of an English head, but it's all gone, Julie.
No,
it's all gone.
Can
She's
we
going
just
back
take
to my
this
leaving
opportunity?
Cert, guys. Julie is referring to my leaving cert. What? I got an A board in my leaving cert, English. However, I cannot spell now. The other day, I had to spell shivery chairs. No, I can't even say the word shivery chairs. And I was sweating. Going out, do you spell that? So listen, it's gone. Anyway, let's go back to Amelia.
Look, Linda, what I'm saying is, like, Amelia was a bit of a nerd. You're a bit of a nerd. I'm a bit of a nerd. Like, we're all in it together. So despite Amelia's relative privilege, young Amelia had a difficult childhood due to her mother's mental illness. From a very young age, Amelia had to, I suppose, kind of look after the mother, which obviously was very hard. And in 1848, her mother actually died, which, of course, really affected Amelia. And she had to move in with an auntie for a little bit. She eventually found work as, like, it's mad to think this was a thing back in the day. She found an apprenticeship as a corset maker, which I suppose we've all watched Bridgerton, I guess, is a thing. Yeah. So, I mean, bit of engineering involved there. So she found work.
She found, on.
Oh, geez, I wish now Amelia was around when I had my wedding. We were just talking about me spilling out of my dress. Jeez, one more fitting. So sadly, Amelia wasn't there at the time, but this was what she was doing. And then in 1859, her dad passed away, and she kind of fell out with the family after the dad passed away, which does happen a lot, you know. I mean, I suppose it does happen in
what
families.
Age is she now, you think?
Okay,
what age is she now?
Talk about sweating. Hang on. Born in 1838, her dad died in 59, so when she was 21. So she's like an old woman now, in Victorian terms.
Oh, yeah, I suppose, yeah. L1.
Okay, so she trained as a nurse then, and she kind of went off, this was her new chapter, she went off as a nurse, but more pertinent to this story, she started working as a midwife. So. Yeah. At age 34, which of course would have been very old in Victorian times, she would have been a right spinster at this stage. She married William Dyer. So she met this guy, and he was a brewer's labourer. Not really sure what that is, but sounds impressive, from Bristol.
It does, definitely, yeah.
William was her second husband. Her first, much older husband, passed away in 1869, but we don't really know much about him. He's a bit of a mystery, but he was a lot older, that's all we know, and he died in 69. William and Amelia had two kids, Mary Ann, who was better known as Polly. Now, this is what I love about Victorians, Linda. They have a name, and then their nickname is totally not their name. Different.
I have a few uncles like that as well. Do you not? Like they're like a John, but everyone calls them Tommy or something.
Would you?
I do. But when I say uncles, I mean, do you know when your ma's and dad say, oh, that's your uncle, but it's just your ma's friend from the pub, your dad's friend from the pub.
Oh, funny. That is gas. Oh my God, that. So like a pseudonym. So it's Johnny, but he's under the pseudonym of Tommy. I have a few uncles and like say, I wouldn't say, like I have an uncle Juddy, which is short for dirt, but you can see how that would happen.
Yeah, yeah. He's a bit of a buzzer, is he?
Well, no, but I mean, like, as in from Gerard to Judy.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, Julie, I thought Ted, when you called the baby Ted, I was like, oh my God, that's amazing, what a name. But there's Ted's popping up all over the place now, isn't there?
All over the place. Yeah, it's really back in vogue. There's a lot of Teds. And you know, it's funny, I kind of liked, like, not to be one of those people, but I did kind of like the fact that it was such an unusual name. Yeah. I know there's a lot of Teds floating around. And I'll tell you this much, there's a lot of, I would say, and absolutely not throwing any shade because I love a bit of English reality TV. There's a lot of English reality TV heads naming their kids Teddy as well. That's like a big thing. Anyway, it comes back to me. I'm a trendsetter. What can I say? So they had the two kids, Mary Ann, who was better known as Polly, and William, because of course they always called as well the kids after the dad. So they had William Jr. She eventually left her husband, but much is known about William Jr. But Polly, of course, as we would later learn, was very much kind of like Amelia's right-hand woman. So Polly and herself were very close. Now, just a bit of background here. So in Victorian Britain, unmarried mothers had a really hard time. The passage of the Poor Law Amendment Act in 1834 meant that fathers, can you believe this? So fathers of kids, so I suppose if parents weren't married, the dads no longer had a financial obligation to their offspring, which meant that unmarried mothers, really struggled. So it was obviously really, really hard. And this led to the practice, I'm so sorry for this term because it's a really disturbing term, but the term used at the time was baby farming. So basically what this was it was essentially a business, and many were legitimate. And the whole idea here was that women could pay for these businesses to take their kids and essentially foster the kids and look after them. So it was all very kind of, you know, it was obviously...
Were they taking the kids to look after them while they were off doing something else? Or did they want them to take the kids forever?
So it was kind of, I suppose it depended on the situation, but usually what it was that they paid somebody to look after their babies, and usually it involved surrendering all their parental rights. So just as a mammy, it's like, you know, it's really awful.
Ever. Yeah. And have you seen a photo of this girl, guys? You wouldn't be handing your kid over. Like me and my husband, we are like, we're strung out for babysitters. We have no babysitters. But seeing this young one, I can't believe people are handing the kids over. It's shocking.
I know. I mean, you know what? I don't even think I can put her face up on the grid. Like, it's really scary stuff.
Scary. But all them photos, I've never looked at one of them photos from the 1800s and went, oh God, she's so pretty. Like, they're all scared shitless. Every single one of them look like they're terrified.
But I think, weren't they told not to smile? Which was also what my dad told me on my Holy Communion day, because I had such a mad head. He's like, just don't smile. The photos will look better.
My communion photo. I look about 40. I say people are like, is she getting married? Or is that her communion?
Oh, funny.
I look about 40 and like, we have to get our communion photos together. Now that we're talking
about it. Oh, listen, I Mine is ending up on a true crime website. I tell you that much. It was so bad. So within that context, Amelia's life as a midwife, it was challenging enough because obviously, you know, she was working with people who were in a really, really sticky situation. Yeah. And Amelia, she didn't like to work too hard. She just said to herself, you know what, this is not for me. But then she decided to embark on this next business venture, which was, I suppose, related and inspired by her job as a midwife. Her friend and fellow midwife, Ellen Dane, and herself decided to start charging families to care or foster their infants. They decided this was much easier and more lucrative than actually helping women deliver these babies. So working under numerous aliases, Amelia put ads in the newspaper offering a quote, nice family with no children, quaint country home, £10, which would have been the equivalent of like over grand in today's money. So unmarried mothers responded to this ad, and this seemingly respectable, obviously this is a fake name, Mrs. Harding was the name that Amelia was using, in the hope that they were finding a good home for their kids. Of course, this process of effectively buying babies under the guise of giving them a better home had earned this really awful term of baby farming. But, you know, there were instances where it was kind of, I suppose, a reasonably legitimate situation.
Yeah.
But once the mothers were put at ease, the baby and adoption fees were handed over, regardless of what the mother wanted. Amelia always insisted on a full adoption with no further contact. So it's interesting now, even I have actually a podcast lined up about the Magdalene Laundries.
And
very similar vibe. Yeah.
Do you know what? Like, I completely misunderstood this because I thought what it was like affluent families
giving
their kids over, but they're not. It's not at all. It's people that are like struggling already.
Yeah. It's just really, really awful. And it's, the thing is, it's really unclear when Amelia's operation turned deadly. So at the start, it seemed like it was all legit. And then at some point, whether intentionally or not, the babies under her care began to die. So eventually, what happened was that one too many death certs were issued to Amelia, and a doctor grew suspicious, and of course he alerted the authorities. In 1879, Amelia was arrested, and actually she was charged with allowing children to die by neglect rather than manslaughter or murder. She was sentenced to 6 months of hard labour, and what's really, really fascinating about this is she credits this, her 6 months of hard labour, she said that actually left her mentally ill. So once she was released, she was kind of in and out of, at the time, you know, obviously we don't refer to them as this anymore, but mental hospitals. She was in and out of psychiatric institutions, and there's evidence that she began abusing alcohol and opium-based products. So she was kind of, you know, had a lot of stuff going on, and she did also attempt suicide on at least one occasion, but spoiler alert, she survived. Okay.
Well, listen, come here to me. So how can you go in and out of them hospitals? Like, how can she just go, okay, I'm fixed now? They had to have been letting her out, you know what I mean?
It's a weird, do you know what, I thought the same, because again, this shows my ignorance. I really thought Victorian times, like, once you were in, you were in, and that was that. But I think from what I learned about her reading the bits and bobs, it seemed like she was a really smooth talker, so there was a bit of that going on. But I know, I thought the same, Linda, such a good point, that it is a bit surprising. But she definitely, like, she was in and out a lot, which is surprising. So things went awry again for Amelia in 1890. The baby of an unmarried governess. So of course, a governess now, it would have been viewed as quite a reputable job. So again, we see maybe class, like the classism involved in this. Yeah. So this governess, she put a baby into Amelia's care. And when, like, now this is really creepy stuff. When the mother returns for a visit, she realizes something is wrong and insists that the baby that's presented to her isn't her baby. So real changeling stuff. The governess, of course, was not impressed. She pulled off the clothes, and the baby was missing a birthmark that the baby had. And so she began to question Amelia. This led to Amelia having, let's face it, probably faking a breakdown and entering what was referred to as a mental asylum for a period of time. Eventually she got back out again. So this was the cycle, and she returned to this practice of baby farming. And this time she took extra care to...
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Over her tracks. So now Amelia no longer called for death certs. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's actually bad. Like the way she was able to just get out and just be a different person. All that. Like we know all this kind of with catfishing, I suppose, now.
Yeah.
That she was catfishing the shit out of everyone. But like she was able to just get out of a mental home and be like, I'm a different person now. Give me
and
your
baby.
And
you know what? It was real Cora O'Donovan vibes. Like GAA catfish. Like have you like placing the fake ads. Have you listened to that GAA catfish story, by the way?
I think I'm the only person in the world that hasn't listened to it though. Ever.
Oh,
I
Linda.
Actually lied to a few people and went, yeah, I have because I felt
it's
left
insane.
Out.
It's insane. And actually, guys, because we do have a good few listeners further afield, if you're not familiar, the two Johnnies who are lovely guys, gigged with them a couple of times, really nice fellas, and they have an absolutely mad story on their podcast called the GAA Catfish. So do check it out. But it is, yeah, serious catfish vibes. So she's using different names. She's posting these ads in the papers and she no longer called for death certs when the baby died. So this was kind of how she went, I suppose, under the radar.
Yeah. And how was she going to be really caught anyway? Because the Nas were told they can't be in contact with the kids ever again.
Desperate.
Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
Really, really bad.
This is hardcore, man.
It's just like pure horror stuff. It really is. Oh, and what herself and Polly and the family would do then is they moved around a lot. They never stayed in the same place too long. They went from Bristol to Reading to Cardiff to London. And that was until a March day in 1886. Because the thing is with these criminals, they're always going to slip up. Like it's inevitable. Yep. So on this day, a guy who was driving a barge, was sending cargo up the Thames in Reading and he saw a box lying along the riverbank. When he looked inside the box, he saw the body of a dead infant within. He called the police and they confirmed that the body was of a little girl who was between 6 and 12 months old.
Baba.
Really, really awful. Like just so sad. Like on the side of a river. And but what really helped the police was on the box, there was really faint writing and it had the name Mrs. Thomas on it and a barely visible address. Now, here's the thing. They had obviously been on to Amelia for a while, but they didn't have any strong evidence to link her to the crimes. She also had this habit of disappearing to, you know, the mental asylum when things got tough. And, you know, I suppose they were on to her, but she kept slipping through their fingers.
Yeah.
So they had collected additional evidence from witnesses and more information from Bristol police, but they were unable to find any conclusive details. That's when the detectives decided to use a young woman as a decoy to secure a meeting with Amelia to discuss her services. Whether it was designed to link Amelia to her business or as an opportunity to arrest her, the plan worked. And on the 3rd of April, 1896, Amelia was expecting a new client when, in fact, she was greeted by dun-dun-dun detectives. Oh,
yes. Yes. Listen to me. Was the address her address?
Yes. So it's a fake name, but her own address. Yes. So but it was barely visible now. So like they did well to work it out. So they entered and like they raided the home and police would later say that the smell was just horrendous. Like quite clearly people had died there, and no bodies were actually discovered, but they did find a rake of evidence, Linda. They found telegrams about adoption arrangements, letters from concerned mothers inquiring about their kids, receipts for ads, babies' clothing. Like, they found a rake of stuff. And they estimated that upwards of 20 babies have been in the care of this, quote, Mrs. Thomas within the last month alone. And police believe, wait for it, that the death toll here, Linda, might be as high as 400. That's what they believed at the time. 400 babies. Really awful. Yeah. And when you think it was like one woman and her enterprise, it's just terrifying stuff. So, because what they decided was that at some point Amelia worked out that once the mammies had paid her, the less time she had the babies in her care, the more profit she made. That was their thinking, that was her rationale. So that is why the death count is just so many. She was arrested, charged with murder, and brought to Newgate Prison, where, take a guess, what did she plead based on her past history?
Insanity,
which was rejected. Because they did a Linda Weston on it, and they said, you know what, if you're kind of just dipping in and out of the asylum, we think you're okay. After a jury meeting of just 4 minutes, because this is what I love about Victorian justice, there was no beating around the bush, okay?
There's no Johnny Depp, Amber Heard stuff going on.
That's a whole other podcast. Yeah, so no, none of that. 4 minutes she was condemned, and on the 10th of June 1896 she was hanged outside Newgate Prison. Obviously her story attracted a lot of news coverage at the time, and it did lead, thank God, to stricter adoption laws in the UK. But unfortunately, now this is really creepy, unfortunately the crimes by this family did not stop after the death of Amelia. So Polly, who had got off scot-free from any charges after her mother testified that she'd never been involved, was rumoured to continue this horrendous practice of baby farming after Amelia's hanging. So a number of ads, Linda, by a, quote, Mrs. Stewart for adoptable babies said, quote, the little one would have a good home and a parent's love and care. And many believed at the time that Mrs. Stewart was Polly's pseudonym, which would mean that she continued on this horrendous practice of baby trafficking even after the execution of Amelia.
Oh my God, it's actually unbelievable. Polly must be messed up though.
She's obviously traumatized as well.
Ah, totally. Like, yeah, like absolutely messed up. Like that's why she continued on the family.
I mean, it's still, but it's pretty creepy, isn't it? The most messed up, Linda. Absolutely love you. That has been the story of Amelia Dyer, aka the Ogress of Reading. Linda, you've been an absolute joy. You're so funny, so gas, so brilliant. You have a deadly podcast, if you want to tell us about it. Linda with a Y.
Linda with a Y is my podcast. Listen to it on all podcast platforms, guys.
And you've had great guests.
I've had some deadly guests, yeah. I have a few actually really good ones coming up. I have The Daily Dish. Now, I loved her. She was my favourite because I'm so obsessed with her. But I had
obsessed with them.
Mr. Dish is on. And I swear to God, Julie, like, I know he's married to Gina, but after I talked to him, I was like, I'm so in love with him.
I know. The most gorgeous couple. Do you know what I love about them? I love, even you can really feel how much he adores her. I'm like, yeah, they're such couples' goals.
I was talking to him at the beginning. He's like, I feel real weird not talking here without Gina. I'm like, Steve never says that. Like, you say Fred says that, maybe he does actually. Say Fred says.
I think and Fred say all the time, I think, you know, I think a part-time relationship is what suits myself and Fred. Like, it's good that we're on the road a bit, is what I'm saying. Like, for sure.
Betty, we need a camera in that house, please. Get a camera on the road. Let's have it. You'll be like the Kardashian.
You'd be talking about Amelia Dyer. Like, some dark shit goes on in this utility room. Let me tell you, we definitely don't need the cameras. I'm going off to dry my knickers, Linda. We'll find you on Linda with a Y podcast. It's such a deadly podcast. I'm very excited to listen in. Why am I talking with Jet Jackson?
Listen in there now.
I'm really excited to listen in to Mr. Dish. Thank you so much, Linda. You're an absolute star.
Thanks so much for having me. I love you.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.